Boot camp has been an inspiration for us. It's truly given us the tools for us to go back and work on our marriage and write our story.
We had an amazing time with Shannon and Javi, and their leadership and their knowledge and their love for all of us, honestly, that at the end of this today, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go home. If you do anything for your marriage, it's this boot camp. Absolutely. I mean, don't wonder, don't question, just do it. You'll regret it if you don't.
Hey, welcome to 24/7 Marriage Podcast. I am Javier, and I'm here with my co-host. You're not the host, you're the co-host.
I want to be a ghost host.
Whatever that means.
Like okay. On the Haunted Mansion.
Okay, Shen, you be who you want to be.
Okay.
So you're the day after, I think this comes out after Mother's Day, not the day after, but after Mother's Day. Did you get what you wanted?
No, we're going to go return it.
Probably so. Yeah, always give her a receipt. Thank God I did not come with a receipt. If I came with a receipt, I'm not sure I would still be here.
That's true. Talk about a really weird gift. One year you gave me a 4-foot Sylvester the cat.
Okay, that's when I worked at Warner Brothers and we were newly married.
A 4-foot Sylvester the cat.
No, he wasn't 4 feet, Shannon.
Yeah,
no, he was a good five and a half feet. It was big.
But he was wearing a brand new leather coat. And I like the leather
from
coat.
Wilson Leather.
Wilson Leather.
Wilson Leather in California.
Do you think they're still in business?
I have no idea.
Yeah, and you bought me my first leather coat.
It's when you used to go to the mall and buy gifts about your leather coat. I remember what it looks like, too.
So
it kind of had like leather and suede on the lapels. Uh-huh. And
it was like patchwork leather.
Wow, I actually remember something. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
That is a gift. Yeah, I don't remember much.
And it was long. It went down to like my thighs. Mm-hmm. Had big pockets. Mm-hmm. Very, very 90s. Very 90s.
Why I thought to stick that onto a cartoon character stuffed animal, basically.
Well, because you got them for free.
And stick it in the box. I was trying to be creative and surprise you.
And I love that. That's why I brought it up.
And you didn't return it.
No, I didn't.
I used to be able to buy you things and you didn't return them. I used to, like, I think I know your style and I could buy you something.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen.
You don't know me now?
No, I do know you, but I also know that your tastes change. You're like, oh, no, I don't really like that. Or it's too fluffy here, or the sleeve's too long here. So
too fluffy.
It's not that I'm not going to try. It's just I learned I can get you small little things, but you're also not a gift person.
Yeah.
You're not be like bringing me something home or giving me flowers. Like, that's not you.
Yeah.
That's not you. And I like if it's something, it's, you know, we talked about a card or something that's homemade.
Yeah. I know you like
that. People think about something, they just go to the store they actually thought about and they made you something.
I'm making you brownies for Father's Day.
Like my good friend Nick Lilly, who just had a birthday. I probably should have sent him a card. I'll send him something, but he always makes me a card every birthday.
He does.
And I see him because it's something that's like personally made. He put some cheesy...
An avocado or a pickle on it or something.
Dad joke in it. Yeah. Yeah. So he put some joke in it and I always laugh at it. So.
I won't give this away, but by the time he listens to this, his mother-in-law was with us helping with a boot camp and she bought him a dad joke book. And it was so funny. We were laughing so hard in the store. So I'm sure Nick is having a great time with the dad joke book.
Yeah. And now he's officially a dad. So it actually works that he should be saying dad jokes.
Yeah, I know.
Before it was just like, you're a dork because you're 20-some years old. And
but
you're
if you met Nick's dad.
If you met John Lilly, then you would know.
He's just like John Lilly. Yeah.
In that area. It's a chip off the old block in that area for sure. And so... We're doing good. So we have the honor here soon to be able to go celebrate our daughter's
baby shower.
And that will be fun because our first grandchild. Yeah. I'm going to be a pop.
I'm going to be a G-ma.
We thought about fun ma and fun pa, but I think it's probably still going to go back to pop. I just don't see myself as being a grandpa, and that's what's kind of weird. I don't see myself that I can do it. It's more so I know I'm older, but I'm not old. And so it's just embracing that to say, but it also makes me feel like, man, I'm not that young guy anymore, that these younger guys I used to mentor, right? Still mentor, you know, want to hang out with, but they still do, which is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, just different season. You know, you embrace the different seasons of your life and marriage that you're in. And yeah, there's just certain things that shift and change. And now we're in a different season in our marriage and how we get to invest and walk alongside others. Just very interesting.
Yeah, I know. It's like bitter. It's kind of bittersweet because I don't want to get older, but
you're getting older.
I do love this season of our life. I feel very comfortable in my age because I'm very comfortable in who I am and I know what I like and what I don't like. And I'm so grateful for the 31 years of marriage of knowledge that I have and yeah. able to share with so many couples. But at the same time, with getting older means our kids are getting older and they're getting, yeah. starting their families. And yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People are going to call us grandma and grandpa.
You have to embrace those seasons because yeah. it just shifts and changes. And you know what? And live your life in such a way where you get to be able to invest in the people that are around you. And they want to come to you for that.
Yeah. Like, no, I love that part.
We've lived in such a way and the work that we do that people actually come to us for counsel and for advice yeah. and to gather some, you know, what little wisdom that we do have. And I think position yourself and live in such a way where you get to enjoy that at this season of life and in that those different stages of life.
Here's where it's messing with my head. When I was little, I thought my grandma was so old. Like she was wrinkly. We used to play with the saggy skin on the bottom of her arm.
Okay, well that is old. Do you have saggy skin underneath the bottom of your arm?
No.
Okay then.
Okay, but what I'm saying is when I was little, I felt my grandma like she was old. And I'm like, I don't feel like that. So it's really weird. Because my grandma was like, her skin was all wrinkly. She wore a house coat.
Yeah, but she was older.
She made pies all day. She wasn't. I don't okay. actually know how old she was when I was little.
You're going to be.
I have to do the math.
You're going to be a 50-year-old grandma.
Yeah.
She was probably older.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I doubt she had all these sagging arms and.
Sagging, you know, arms.
And little chicken stuff underneath her neck, you know, that extra skin. No, I think you're fine.
Okay, thanks. Yeah.
You can be a hot grandma. Hot ma.
Could you imagine Phoenix calling
We're going to call
ma.
You hot ma. What's up, hot ma? Oh, anyways,
that's terrible.
I digress.
This episode is going to be cool because we are answering questions from our Instagram family.
So we're answering questions from there. And I want to remind you that, and maybe we'll do it at the end as well, is that you can record a voice message, a voice memo question on your phone. You know, especially if you have an iPhone, probably even on an Android, you record a voice memo, a voice message, and you can actually email it to info@247marriage.org, and we'll take your marriage questions and answer those questions on the podcast. And we'll do our best, and when we get those questions, to let you know that we're answering that question. And there are from time to times we're taking in live callers as well on the podcast, and we'll be announcing that when we do that, so that we can actually, if you submit your question and it's something that we want to ask live, we will actually reach out to you and set up a time for you to be on live with us on the podcast. And if it's a question that we want to answer live and kind of dig in a little bit deeper with you on that. But email your questions, your voice memo, so that we can play your actual question, not just read it.
Yeah.
We can actually play it, a voice memo to info@247marriage.org.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Are you ready for our first question?
I am ready. I'm ready.
Okay. What's happening?
I'm just telling you I'm ready. Go ahead.
Why'd you wave your finger
at
the
computer
screen?
Well, because we do the podcast in the marriage lab, and so we're constantly always in new places, and I saw a guy walk by with a weed whacker. So I didn't know if he was going to crank the weed whacker right now, and we'd have to pause our podcast whack. I mean, in order for him to weed whack, in order for him to cut the grass. Sorry.
Oh, my dear goodness gracious.
Forgive me, Lord. I am sorry. In order for him to trim the grass. Yes. Okay, can you answer the question, please?
Should we edit all this out?
No. It's fine. I didn't say anything inappropriate. I said what he is doing. Okay. Now that I hear myself speak, I'm going to stop now. Okay. Shannon, do you have a question for me?
Yeah, this is from Leanna. And this is a great question. I can almost hear her heart in this, in that she's really looking for an answer. So her marriage question is, about what do you do when you feel like your kids have ruined your marriage? My husband works hard and I stay at home with the kids, but because he works hard to provide financially, he feels like he doesn't have to try in any other aspects of our life and marriage.
I feel there are two questions there, and I want to be able to answer those questions. And so to the first part of that question, open it up again, is that the children have not caused the marriage problem. You're saying, you know, when kids have ruined your marriage, like your kids cannot ruin your marriage. If your kids, if there's some unhealthiness happening with the children, or you've made the focus and really the kids your priority in your marriage above your spouse, then you can maybe use those, you're trying to use the words that are ruining our marriage, but really you made a choice and decision. They're your children. Like you raise them, you direct them, you guide them. And if you are allowing them to come in and take up the space that's for your spouse, then that's not on you, not your children. Like these are your children. They're not, they might demand your time. They might demand all of this of you, but ultimately you're making a decision of where that time is going and how you are placing, you need to place your spouse first before your kids.
I agree with you. I read the question a little differently in that I think that what she was trying to communicate was that because her spouse doesn't emotionally show up or does the bare minimum, she's saying if our kids weren't here, would he be stepping up and would he be paying more attention to me? And
And if he does, that's an excuse.
Yeah.
If he's saying, oh, I can't because we got the kids and I got to work hard and I got to do this. I got to provide for all you because we've got X amount of kids. That is an excuse and that is a cop out. Because here's the thing. I know plenty of people who have 4, 5, 6, 7 kids and their kids were not neglected. Their kids were... yes, provided for financially, but also provided for emotionally and physically and spiritually they were led. Like you can. It's a matter of what are you doing? So you feel that you are providing for your family, you're doing all these things, and because I've got all these kids, you made a choice and decision to have these kids. Uh-huh. But you cannot sacrifice your marriage, your spouse, on the altar of the children. And if you are saying, I can't engage, I don't have time because of the amount of kids or all the work that you're doing, then you have to reevaluate who's getting your time, how in let's say like when you come home, where is that time going? Mm-hmm. Maybe you're involved in so much downtime, or well, I work so hard, so I'm just gonna sit on the couch and kids are running around, but you're not engaging and you're not connecting.
Yeah.
And so your kids are not the problem, they're not ruining your marriage. No.
Absolutely.
Unless
not.
You allow that to happen, yes. And you allow them to take that space that actually is reserved for your spouse, for your marriage. And you're doing your children a disservice if you are not placing your marriage first.
Yes.
Because that is the example that they're going to lead. And they will end up doing the same thing. We tell young couples all the time, when a new baby comes into your life, your first child, that child comes into your life, not you into theirs. And maybe that's what's been the problem. I don't know.
Well, too often we see couples that have start families and they think that they'll just, as it goes along, we'll just figure out how to make time for each other.
Nope.
You have to make a plan.
Yeah.
If your marriage is a team,
yeah,
then look at any team across the board, basketball, football, soccer.
Yeah.
They get together with a coach and they figure out what they're going to do before they get out on the field. Yeah. These are our plays.
Yeah.
So if we're going to bring home a new baby, what's our play going to look like the next 3 weeks, the next 3 months, the next 3 years?
Yeah.
How are we intentionally going? They call that
communication.
Yeah, but it's also called a game plan.
You have to come up and intentionally be,
it's not just going to happen. You're not just going to have 2 or 3 kids and then, out of nowhere, you're like, our marriage is so good and we're consistently dating each other and we have time for one another.
It's so hot in here, Shannon. It's hot in our little podcast studio today.
I know, honey. You're going to be okay.
It's not even that humid yet in Texas, but it's hot and it's humid and I'm sticky and it's hot.
Should we go to the pool? Finish our podcast in the pool?
We need to do it in the pool.
A pool cast.
Yeah, a pool cast. All right, I think you got another question.
Yeah, I do. Okay. The question is, my husband is an affectionate. Even when I initiate, he's also always on his phone. How can we overcome this?
So you said is, so you meant isn't. My husband isn't affectionate. And Yeah, isn't affectionate ever. Even if I initiate, he's always on his phone.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Preoccupation.
Yeah, but we also don't want to say, yeah, no, we do want to say. It is so, I know we say this often. Have you communicated about it? And it could be probably if we asked, they probably said, no, I haven't talked to him about it yet.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. And I know you feel, well, I don't want to communicate it because I just communicated and he'll be on his phone while I'm communicating it. I get it. But you have to talk through these things. And so you got two separate things here. One is expressing your longing and your feelings around the desire to build intimacy. I'm not mm-hmm. talking about sex, but building intimacy that can lead to that. So you have to express that longing, that desire, and what it means for you, and ask him, how can we reach a place of actually being able to do that well and be able to serve one another well?
Yeah.
What does that look like? And it could be, maybe he has a struggle somewhere. Maybe she's engaging right after he gets home from work and his mind is just still racing. So timing of that as well, of when you're asking to initiate. And I would say secondary to that question, when she asked that he's always on his phone.
This is plaguing every marriage across America right now. This is
incredibly common.
We just did a post about it a couple weeks ago called Digital Pacifiers.
Yeah, and this is a thing where you know, we tend to, you know, you can tend to have an affair actually with a phone that's in front of you and with everybody else's lives that you're engaged with besides your own, besides the marriage that's in front of you. And so for him, you're going to have to sit down and express that when you are on your phone and we're talking, it makes me feel this way.
Yeah.
Can we find a healthy way to where maybe we have time where we talk or take a walk where we don't have our phones? And you know, what is he doing? Is it work stuff? Is he just playing games? So maybe if he comes home and he sits on his phone for, you know, says hi to you, gives you a kiss, and he's like, sits on that for 10 minutes, and then, you know, that's when you start to talking, but you know in 15 minutes he would be done. You might say, hey, can we have an agreement? Like, maybe if you come home, we don't do that until. Or yeah. If you are on it for 10 minutes while you're just decompressing, you know, can we set a limit and then we can just connect? I'd love to hear about your day. Or help get ready for dinner. Whatever it is, you have to communicate the parameters around that. But I'm telling you right now, it is the most incredibly unhealthy act that we're seeing in marriage right now.
It's selfish.
That and really, there's a word for it. They call it fubbing. That you're actually with that person, but you're not. You're sitting there. They're talking. You're on your phone, or you're sitting watching a movie with them, and then you're on their phone. You're on your phone while they're sitting there watching it. You're not engaged. You're not connected. You're not present. You're not available. And there should be nothing else more important at that moment than connecting with your spouse. Why would you need to have the phone in front of you?
Yeah.
If what matters to you is right there.
Well, because we're entering into a new season, I don't even know what you call it, Javier, but people have an addiction to their phones. There's actually statistics on this that obesity, depression, all these things are on the rise, and that people feel out of control. They don't feel in control if they don't know where their phone is, if they don't always have it in their hand.
Yeah.
They have no downtime. They can't microwave something without getting on their phone.
It drives me up a wall seeing all these people
in
walk around.
In stores, while they're waiting in line.
But these young girls who walk around with their phones in their hands everywhere, I mean, it's like just connected to them.
Well, even in an activity. So we go to the pool often, and it's like you're there to enjoy the water, the sunshine, the music that's playing. And I see young girls and boys like on their phones while sitting in the pool. And it's like, get off your phone and just enjoy being in a pool.
And here's the thing. You are teaching and training your children what's okay and what's acceptable. And that when someone speaks to you or when they're communicating with you and trying to engage with you, it's okay. Be on your phone. You can just, you know,
ignore people,
disregard them. Mm-hmm. And we have become such slaves to our phones. And maybe this guy is doing it because he doesn't want to engage. He doesn't know how to engage. He doesn't know how to maybe communicate. Or she's been on him and he just has retreated. There could be a lot of different factors. It doesn't make it right. But there could be a lot of factors of why he, and again, it could be simply like, I just don't know how to emotionally be available or connect. And she's asking me questions. And so you just go to something to numb, to escape. And it's an epidemic. I mean, and so we consistently do it. And I know some people have to do it for work. I get it. Yeah. You have to do it quite often, but there's moments where we can still get caught up in like just sitting there, and it becomes, and all of a sudden a half hour, an hour has gone by.
Yeah.
And you've wasted, you don't get that time back.
Yeah.
Especially with your spouse, you don't get that time back. So I definitely think we have time for another question, Shannon.
Oh, you want another one?
Yeah, we have another question, and then we're gonna do a what are we doing? Whose fault was it?
Oh, called? Am I the problem?
Am I the problem?
Okay, this last question: how do I fix conflict when my spouse won't work with me and just picks at everything? This is a great conflict question.
You want to start?
Sure. Well, first of all, if you've gone to your spouse with a felt need that you have about how you handle conflict, but you're using words like you always and you never, is going to 100% put your spouse on the defense, because you started the sentence with you. So you're already making them the problem, and you're using words like always and never. And that is never the case. We are not that perfected of a people to always or never do something. It's just not the fact.
Yeah.
So I would say, what is it you're trying to communicate? How are you communicating? And what's your timing and your tone? Those are very crucial things when you are communicating with your spouse.
Yeah. Something interesting they place in that question, and it's made, you know, I pay attention to words. How do I fix conflict when my spouse won't work with me? How do I fix when my spouse won't work with me? And I don't know if you're aware of that, and maybe this is not what you meant, but when you use words like that, when they won't work with me, when they won't agree with me, when they won't do it like I want them to do it, when they won't have the discussion when I want them to have it, when they won't engage when it's convenient and good for me, when I want to bring it out. Conflict, you have to normalize conflict first in the relationship, because conflict is going to happen in your marriage. So normalize it. Accept that it's going to happen, and set your guide rules of how you engage in conflict, your rules of engagement in conflict. And even that comes down to, it's not about what works for you and what's best for you. What works for both of you? And, you know, is there a certain time of day? Is it in the evenings? It's not great. If Shannon brings me something at 8:30 at night, I'm not great with that. In the morning or in the afternoon, or let's go for a walk and talk, that works great. For her, you know, if she wants to sit and talk about it, we can do that. Or for, you know, we went out somewhere. You find what works for one another, and not just what works for you and what's best for you. And you have to find those moments to be able to have a healthy discussion. And if you want to have that, come to your spouse and say, I would love to be able to seek to understand where you're at and how you feel about this and why. So I want to better understand that. Can you help me understand? And you ask that of one another. It's that whole premise, and we teach it at boot camp: seek first to understand and then be understood. And that's a really important piece, because you have to approach conflict from that way. And the other piece that she wrote in there, which was about, remind me, the second part?
Just picks at everything.
Oh, he picks at everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, again, why he picks at everything, I don't know. Is it because he had certain expectations and now those aren't being met, so he's kind of picking at everything? Is it because he feels you've done the same? If he's doing that, again, it's expressing, I do feel that when we communicate, or I do feel that there's been a season where I feel you're not content with so many things, and I want to understand what those things are. And so challenge him with the right questions and say, I feel you are picking at things, you know, what are the things that are important? What are the things that, how can we navigate through this and have a conversation in and around it?
Yeah.
And that's obviously good. He's probably just picking at things. It's not wanting to find maybe pick a battle or pick a fight.
Yeah.
But he might have an expectation of how things should be. And so he's, hey, why is this here? Or why is that happening? Or why did you do this? And so you have some unspoken maybe expectations on both sides, and to you it's coming across as him picking at things when he might just be asking questions about things you had already maybe talked about or agreed to, and they're not happening.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so
that's what I gotta say about that.
you ready to end with a, am I the problem?
Yeah.
Am I the problem? I want sex all the time and I don't know how to get my husband to give me more. Am I the problem?
You want to answer that? Well, what do you think?
I kind of think it's a both and. I kind of think that it might be, she might actually be the problem. Because here's the thing. When you say all the time, that could mean a lot of different things. Does that mean that you need to have sex every single day? Or is it several times a day? So my question is, if you're asking and it's obviously way too much for your spouse to handle, then you are the problem. Because why is your need so high? Is there something else going on in your life? We have another lawnmower.
That's okay.
Why do we always record on days they do landscaping? It seems to be a knack of ours. We have a knack for doing this. So how are you engaging in asking that? And for your spouse, I don't know that they're the problem, that they're always saying no to you. I feel like there's this balance that you guys haven't quite figured out, and quite frankly, you guys need to communicate, navigate through.
And I wouldn't say balance, because things are always going to feel somewhat out of balance. But I would say there are probably men who are listening to this thinking, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, your wife wants to have it all the time and she's trying to get you to want the same thing? Like, because again, we live in a society and a culture that tells us men are supposed to have this highest libido and craving. And maybe he's in a season, whether it's a whether it's low testosterone, whatever it may be, or there just could be something, there could be some trauma attached to it. There could be a number of things of why for him it's not a higher drive than it is for her. So I would encourage her, I would say, I know this is not a question, but I was saying, like, I would say it's both. I don't think it's just one or the other, because her desire to pursue him is not bad.
No.
And that's good. And I would say if he's struggling with something, if he's just saying no just to say no, then yeah, he's a problem.
We're saying that both of you are not the problem, but there is resolution.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's the problem if he's just saying no just to say no.
Oh, yeah.
If it's something else, you know. But if there's things going on and they are, you need to talk through that. See, this is why I'm feeling this way. This is why I'm struggling, or this is what's difficult for me right now in this season.
Well, and if he's saying no because he's going to pornography or other things, then that you are the problem, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I would say talk through that, and what does that actually look like, and, you know, why is this difficult for him in this moment? And really, you may need to get some counseling around that. He may need to reach out and talk to somebody as well. But I also don't want him to feel burdened or ridiculed because he's struggling with in that area right now. And it could be a health issue. So, all right, we're going to wrap it up. I always love when we get to do questions. And like I mentioned before, if you have questions, you want to send an audio message to us and we can play your question live on our podcast. And we may even call you to have you on the podcast to answer that question and dig in a little bit deeper with you. Do so at info@247marriage.org. We appreciate you. We love you all. Have an incredible week. And always remember, in marriage, you don't have to.
You get to.
Talk to you soon.
See you soon.
Thank you for listening to the 24/7 Marriage Podcast. Help us expand our reach by rating and leaving us a review on iTunes. Make sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more information on the work we do and how to support 24/7 Marriage, head on over to 247marriage.org and click on Partner with Us. Until next week, remember, in marriage you don't have to, you get to.